This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The recent bombings at the Boston Marathon have brought home again the difficulty of protecting completely against something going wrong at a big open event like a race. With the Peachtree Road Race coming up, Atlanta has focused attention on it. City officials have talked about stepping up security not just at the Peachtree, but also at upcoming events starting this weekend, like the Dogwood Festival and the Sweetwater Festival in Candler Park. Dave Wilkinson is the president of the Atlanta Police Foundation. It's not a part of the police department. It's a private organization that works with the police in support of security operations and crime prevention programs. Prior to that, he was special agent in charge of the U.S. Secret Service Georgia region. He was also the Secret Service supervisor with President George W. Bush at the time of 9/11, and he was an assistant special agent in charge of the Presidential Protection Division under Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush. Dave Wilkinson, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Glad to be with you.
We had just recently the NCAA Final Four, but I was there for the championship game. Everyone who went into that arena was wanded as they went through, but that's controlled access. Even if you have many entry points, there's a finite number. Something like the Peachtree, those are places where people can kind of wander in up to a point. So what's the difference in trying to protect a big open event like that versus something that has controlled access?
As you mentioned, large outdoor festivals, large road races, that sort of thing, in a free society here in Atlanta or anywhere else, first of all, they just don't have the resources to secure an event like that to that level. So basically what you rely on is a lot of different things. Of course, you have a security plan from the police department. They work closely with the organizers of the event. But what they rely extremely heavily on, and that is intelligence that's been gathered through the FBI and other law enforcement agencies. They have a group called the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and that's the FBI-led organization in every major city, Atlanta. And they talk about all the threat information that's out there, all the social media buzz that's out there, and anything that they could derive as being a threat toward that particular event. So that intelligence information they receive is very important leading up to the event. Is there any kind of chatter about a group or an individual or someone that could do some kind of harm to that event? And without that, for a large major event like that, it's very difficult to secure it in a very seamless way.
Certainly, as we saw with Boston, for instance, there may have been very good intelligence about a number of things that we'll never hear about connected to the marathon, but this one got through.
Well, that's right. And I think most law enforcement agencies and most law enforcement experts would tell you they're very aware of the fact that they may not and probably won't actually catch it in advance as far as from an intelligence perspective. So what they really rely on is information from the public. You may have heard in the last year or so Homeland Security had a Say Something, Do Something campaign. And that's all about basically advising the general public that security is all our responsibility. So if you're at an event, basically it's your responsibility as much as anyone else. And if you see something that looks out of line, it looks peculiar, it looks out of place, then point that out, mention that to the police officers as soon as you can. And I think that's the sort of thing that the Boston incident reminds us even more of, and that is it'll probably come out after the investigation that someone in the crowd saw these individuals and thought they looked suspicious, but basically didn't say anything. And that's typically the case after the fact. And I think that's the thing as a society we have to continue to collaborate between the private sector, the citizens, if you will, and the law enforcement agencies on that sort of thing.
I asked one of the heads of security operations for MARTA, Sergeant Aston Green, about this earlier this week, and that was the see something, say something idea. Are we likely to see after Boston, though, people reporting folks as suspicious just based on who they are or what they look like? Because it's one thing to say report something suspicious, and it's another thing to know what suspicious is.
Well, you're exactly right, Dennis. And that's the challenge, of course. That's the problem, of course. I mean, for many years, I think law enforcement agencies live by sort of a code. And I was part of one that basically in the Secret Service that would say, this is law enforcement sensitive information. We have to be careful how it's shared. We have to be careful that we may report information incorrectly. We could scare people. We could incite people. And in the end, I think what 9/11 really brought home for law enforcement agencies is that we have to share that information. We have, when we get information about someone or something that could threaten the population, get the information out, realizing that you may have to clarify it, you may have to correct it later, but you've got to get the information out. And I think the same thing goes for citizens. I think they have to say something, point something out that looks unusual, and then let the authorities make the decision of how to react to that. And, but you're exactly right. There will be situations where, many situations where an individual is reported as, as looking suspicious, where they basically just looked different and there was nothing to it. But I think that's part of it. As long as the law enforcement agencies respond appropriately and professionally, that wouldn't really be a problem.
If you were advising the organizers of any of these events, what would you tell them that we might have learned from Boston that maybe we had either forgotten or that we might need to step up a bit?
I would tell them to have very thorough planning and briefings with all your volunteers and your individuals participating in the events, that it is important that they say something if they see something out of the norm. Also, I would be very heavily invested in the technology side of this, such as video surveillance. Here in Atlanta, we have Operation Shield, which is the integration of all the video surveillance cameras in the city. Now, in Boston, they do monitor video surveillance cameras, but most of them are owned by the private sector, and they're not being monitored by the police department. So I knew immediately after the bombing in Boston, they would be able to very quickly identify someone from the videotapes, because clearly the bomb technicians can tell where the blast took place, and then quickly they can go back to the video footage and ultimately identify suspects or whatever that set the packages down. I think it was pretty clear that it would come to that. In Atlanta, with Operation Shield, since these cameras are real, they're real time and live, the police department is monitoring them, that you would anticipate they'd simply be able to back the cameras up and within a matter of minutes possibly see a possible suspect or whatever placing the package down. Now, granted, that may be after the fact, but you hopefully would even see individuals looking suspicious on the video surveillance cameras when they've placed the package down and maybe even stop the thing from taking place. So my point is, I would encourage them to invest heavily in the technology side of things. The video surveillance cameras can mean everything. And also, the last thing I would say is the social media sites. Ultimately, most things right now are out on social media, and a lot can be derived through the social media pertaining to a particular site.
We've seen the advantages of the video surveillance cameras, certainly in Boston and as you're talking about here in Atlanta. But at what point are we saying, okay, there's too much surveillance? Our privacy and our freedom of movement is being invaded too much? Or have we reached a decision on that yet as a society?
No, I believe we have. As we install cameras all over this city, they're all in public sector spaces. They're all at intersections and red lights and that sort of thing. And we have basically no one complaining about that. I think the citizenry generally accepts the fact for us to have a secure security environment, to have video surveillance cameras videoing our moves out in public space is perfectly acceptable. And I think that's exactly what the message we get back from the citizenry. Like I said, we have not had a complaint or even a issue of someone bringing up that the privacy concern in the last year or so if we've done this. And I think as video surveillance cameras, Dennis, across the country continue to be more prolific, and cases like in the Boston bombing, they show how this ultimately can be the difference between not only solving a crime such as this, but it also could even be the difference in preventing a crime, will be just a thing to make sure people realize that this is just something we just must do in this country.
Do a lot of police departments, and again, we talked to Marta earlier this week, have the resources to put the kind of sustained step up in security together that they would need to maintain for the long haul?
Probably not, and that is a big challenge. And as you can imagine, these guys are out there every day trying to keep our city streets safe. But it's tough, because I tell you, resources can only be stretched so far. But I do think when the major events come around, that's when a police department needs to focus on that, ultimately get with the organizing groups, such whether it's the Final Four or it's the Peachtree Road Race or other. They will not only collaborate to develop a security plan, but they will also create a seamless security plan that has a contingency for every emergency. And they can only do that through collaborating training, and then ultimately maybe a tabletop exercise to basically go through the steps of what they would do in the event of an incident.
But there are no guarantees.
No, there absolutely is not a guarantee, and I think that's everybody in law enforcement knows that. But I will say one more time, Dennis, technology is changing to help us with all this, and I think it's in the aftermath of the Boston incident, you're going to see with not only with the technology of the forensic capabilities now, the FBI and others, but the video surveillance, ultimately, that's going to help us as a society prevent against these terrorist attacks, because people are going to realize that I really can't do this and get away with it. So because a video camera will capture me doing whatever I'm doing. So unless it's some kind of sophisticated type, plan where...
Yeah, or a suicide, for instance.
Or a suicide bombing. But as you know, we don't really see that in this country to date. And so typically what we've seen here in domestic terrorism, especially, is someone leaving a bomb or leaving a truck like they did in Oklahoma City and then driving away or walking away, excuse me, from the scene. Well, my point being is with today's technology and today's forensic capabilities, and with the advent of video surveillance in these cities, I think that gives us a pretty good shot of these guys not feeling like they can get away with it, which ultimately may mean they may not do it.
Dave Wilkinson is a former special agent in charge of the Secret Service for the Georgia region. He's now the president of the Atlanta Police Foundation. Dave Wilkinson, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Dennis.